Meeting House Military Veterans Affairs to order. It is 1:50 p.m. on Thursday, April 27th. Sorry for the late start. We're in the Gruenberg Room. That's 1:20 here in the state capitol, Juneau. With me, I have Representative Shaw, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Wright. And I'll let the record reflect. See, we do not have a quorum. So please mute your cell phones and let's get down to business. Oh, I'd like to first off thanks Ms. Talia Ames with the Juneau LIO. She's a veteran. Thank you for your service. Also, Mr. Kevin Allen, we'd like to say happy birthday to you. Everyone on three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kevin. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
And that is why we all work as legislators and not recording artists.
Nice to break up the routine.
Yeah. So due to a late start, we only have one item on the agenda today. An overview from the Alaska Army National Guard by Brigadier General James Palumbus. General Palumbus, would you please come forth and begin your presentation? Yes. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Brigadier General James Palumbus. I'm the director and commander of the Alaska Army National Guard.
Thank you. And please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. I appreciate the invitation. This is my first time to the Capitol, so this is all new to me, but I always appreciate being able to talk about the Alaska National Guard. I'm a very proud member of the Alaska National Guard and have been for almost 33 years now. And so anytime I get a chance to educate our legislatures and the public, I would love to do that. Organizationally, we fall under the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and we're one of four under the Alaska Organized Militia. We're probably the second largest directorate under the Alaska Organized Militia. The Air Guard has a few more military members than we do on the uniform side. But we're pretty diverse. We're in a lot of communities. We have more armories out in rural Alaska than any of the other, than the Alaska National Guard, or Air National Guard. So this is our key leaders. Senior enlisted leader, Sergeant Major Julie Small, her dad enlisted me in the National Guard back in 1990. And I think you'll see a lot of times where a lot of folks that are in the National Guard have been there for years. I'm a third generation Alaskan. I was born in Seward, raised primarily in Fairbanks. Mom was raised in Seward and I graduated high school in Fairbanks and graduated my undergraduate in Fairbanks. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that you'll see in the Alaska National Guard. A lot of members that are in our ranks. Well, I've been Alaska National Guard members for a very long time. And I'll get into some of the retention rates and stuff that we work with. The other key leader that we have there is, of course, Sergeant Major. I hit the thing, apologize. Sergeant Major Nyquist, and he's my right-hand person. And then we have two brigades, commanders, Colonel Aaron Kelsey and Colonel Alex Elmore. And I'll break that down. Here's our vision statement. We're a vision statement is to be a diverse and trust and capable organization. I tell you, our culture, and we've worked on this for a long time, is to build a trust, transparency, and teamwork within the Alaska National Guard. Priority is readiness. You know, we have two different missions, but we work on readiness, and because winning America's wars matter, and because people matter, and we can't have readiness without people. And so we've done a lot over the years to make sure we take care of the soldiers that have joined the Alaska National Guard, but also their families. We put a lot of resources to doing that. And so our retention rates in Alaska NARD have vastly improved. We're in the 94th percentile for retention, and that puts us about 10 in the nation when you compare it to 50 states and four territories, and so we're pretty proud of that. Our mission, we have two missions, obviously. We have our federal mission, which is the Title 10 federal mission, to deploy and fight America's battles. And then we have our state mission, Title 32, which we work, of course, like Commander Chiefs is the governor of the state of Alaska. And we activate when we have domestic operations and emergencies that that the governor calls us to duty for. So two hats, and I'll dive down to some of the really interesting. We have one unit that they change from a Title 10 to a Title 32 almost daily. It's an interesting dynamic of that unit.
Let the record reflect that Representative Groh has joined us. And General, can you just kind of talk about whenever we have to use sandbags, like the things we're doing in these images here, like a last mission that, or a scenario that it has happened recently?
So Operation Typhoon Murbach, when we went out, the Joint Staff, we came together and we were activated under a state active duty order. We went out to mostly western Alaska, and you'll see our soldiers out there in the pictures, moving sandbags, clearing debris, going out to very remote areas of Alaska, helping the local population during that time. That's probably the biggest mobilization that we've had in all my 33 years of being in Alaska National Guard. And so we get activated quite a bit, but that is probably the biggest one. And a huge success story for us, and that brought all of the units in the Alaska National Guard, as far as Alaska State Defense Force and us, and stood up the JTF, our Joint Task Force Alaska, to do that, and it was a huge success for us.
Thank you.
So talking about units and locations, up there, so right now, 1,741 soldiers, that's our authorized strength. Right now, we're about 69 short of that. Like I had said, our retention rates are really good. And I talk about the uniformed soldiers, but really, when you think about our division, it's made up of more than just uniformed soldiers. And we're all part of a larger team. And so we have 54 state employees that work for the division, and we have one that works in the G3. He does our anti-terrorism, which prepares units and does evaluations of our different armories. And then we have the other 52 we work for our facility maintenance office, our management office, and all those positions are reimbursed by the federal government. They're part of the cooperative agreement. But we absolutely need those folks that go out, and they maintain over 200 different facilities across the state. When we had some armories that were not manned, these guys went out and opened up those armories and made sure that they were ready to receive soldiers for full long mission during Typhoon Murbach. And so they're part of our team. And then we also have 76 Title V civilian federal employees that fall under the Alaska National Guard. And so we have people in different statuses, but they're all part of a big team that work together. It's a huge system, a bunch of interrelated parts working together towards a common goal, and we need the whole team together. We're broken really down into three different elements: the Joint Force Headquarters, and we have our medical detachment that does the medical screening. That makes sure that our soldiers are prepared and can deploy. We have our Alaska Recruiting and Retention Battalion that reaches out, and then we have our headquarters where I'm located and my staff's located. And then we're breaking down into two major brigades. And the 38 Troop Command is a non-deployable brigade. It just does command and control over really a lot of the units that we would use on domestic operations. The 103rd Civil Support Team, that's our Sobrini, that's our chemical, biological, nuclear, radiological, and environmental team. They're a 24/7 unit, AGRs, active guard, and they have the capability to go out and do detection. We use them quite a bit when we have big events like, you know, if we have the Iditarod, they'll go out to the Iditarod so they're prepared to do, actually if they need to do that. We also have a 49th Missile Defense Battalion. That's up at Fort Greely, and we'll talk more about them. And then the 207th Aviation Troop Command, we use a lot of aviation assets. We have some far-reaching places we have to get to. And we have Blackhawks, we got the Chinook helicopters, we got the C-12 fixed-wing aircraft, and we got the Lakotas. The 297th Regional Support Group, that is a deployable unit, and they're comprised of our PAD, which is deployed many times as a public affairs detachment, and our construction team management team that works really close with really our facility management office. And they do a lot of training and planning, construction exercise or section projects. We have the 49th Personnel Detachment Theater Gateway team. And they go in and they prepare for soldiers coming in and out. They were just recently used with 11th Airborne Division up north, and I'll talk more about that. We have the Infantry Battalion minus. So two of those companies are located in Wyoming, but we got the headquarters and we got the companies up here. That's the companies up here. We have the 207th Multifunctional Training Regiment. That's their schools. Our schoolhouse, and they do a lot of training on MOSs and other MOS-specific skills. We get soldiers that are active duty and soldiers that are from out of the state. And then we have the engineer support company and the law enforcement debt. I want to talk a little bit about our overlay here. If you look at our map, when I first joined the National Guard back in 1990, we had 83 armories across the state of Alaska. That's quite a few armories. We are part of our facility maintenance, our management office's mission is to divest a lot of those armories and get down to 19 locations. And those are in the green stars that you see and where they're at. By divesting, we're giving back those armories to the local whether it's the city or the or the village, but that's what we're trying to get you right now. We've divested since 2013, 39 of those armories. We still got 26 more to go, and we got 9 land-only properties that we're looking at divesting. So quite a few, but eventually we'll end up with 19 armories that we think represent Alaska well in some of the hubs. And then we have our aviation facility locations. You see those that are up there as well, and they're marked in red in Nome, Fairbanks, Bethel, and Juneau. So just talk about the different brigades real quick. So the Regional Support Group mission is it's a deployable headquarters, and it manages a lot of base caps and base clusters. They were just recently got back about a year and a half ago from Poland. They right now have an on-order mission, so they deploy quite a bit. If we had a large-scale mobilization, they would be sent down to Fort Riley. So, and that would happen in a real quick turn too. So, they do have an on-order mission. They do deploy, and they have deployed, and right now they're waiting to see if there ever is a large-scale mobilization. They will leave the state and go down to Fort Riley. The 38th Troop Command is a non-deployable headquarters element, and it manages all the units that I described that was underneath them. But they're also the headquarters for Joint Task Force Alaska when we have domestic emergencies. And so when we had Typhoon Murbach, that commander was the Joint Task Force commander. And we are Raider Forces, which include the Alaska State Defense Force, underneath that JTF, and then they executed with command control of that operation. This is our deployment slide, and right now we don't have any major elements that are deployed. We'd have onesie twosies and individual MOBs, but we do have a MOB coming up, and so. But I put it on there because if you look at our federal mission and how active we are, in the last 5 years, we have deployed quite a bit outside the state. And so we've had deployments to Afghanistan, to Jordan, to Kuwait, to Kosovo, to Poland, the Horn of Africa, and the CENTCOM, which is really the Middle East. And so we have our infantry battalion slated to go out the door this summer, and they're going to CENTCOM as well. And so we do have another mobilization. So we're still pretty busy on the federal activation side. Things have slowed down maybe a little bit, but we're still pretty busy doing those Title 10 missions.
For the record, I'd like to recognize Representative Rouser has joined us. Please continue.
This is our strategic unit, the 49th Missile Defense Battalion that's up at Fort Greely. That's a 24/365 mission. They're all active guard and reserve. And it's a pretty interesting dynamic because when they're off the missile site, they are Title 32 soldiers. They're ADCON or administratively controlled by the Alaska National Guard, Title 32. But when they cross the missile field and go into the fenced area, they're Title 10, and they have operational under the active duty. And so this unit right here kind of changes the dynamics of the Alaska National Guard by active duty or full-time strength. Across the nation, when you look at other states, about 86% of the National Guard is part-time soldiers. In Alaska, because of mostly this unit, we have about 33-34% of full-time members in the Alaska National Guard. And that doesn't account, you know, we have an augmentation force that comes up there from another state because GMD is growing up there. And so we have the Wyoming National Guard up there right now, and they'll change out with the Texas National Guard here shortly. So when they come in, they are on Title 10 orders. But we include them as part of the Alaska National Guard, and we take care of them. And so the 49th is kind of a unique unit that we have. I throw the civil support one up there because, as you can see, we do a lot of stuff that's really deployment outside of the United States and a Title 10 status doing our federal mission. But we have a lot that's happening here back home. And some of these are ongoing things, you know, our rescue coordination center support and going out and rescuing folks off. We just had one not long ago where we rescued a guy with a broken femur on the back side of Alyeska. We always have a lot of those kind of things going on. We were pretty busy, as you know, during Typhoon Mirbach, but COVID response too. We activated a whole lot of folks that did all kinds of things, all the way from working down at the food bank to helping out with contact tracing. We were activated during election support. Whatever the governor needs us to do, we'll go out and do. And we have a pretty active counter-drug program that works with the local law enforcement. And then once the fire season gets here, our aviation primarily works pretty heavily with a lot of the wildfire stuff that happens here in the state of Alaska. So pretty pretty robust civil support missions that are happening here, and we're always pretty busy. I know that we'll be doing that coming up. We might be active with the whole spring breakup with the rivers and stuff. So
do you have a question from Representative Rouser?
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you, through the chair. I'm going to show my ignorance again here. But Alcantara in Wasilla, oh, it's not really Wasilla, it's probably Palmer. How does that fit in, or doesn't it?
So Alcantara Armory is still an active National Guard armory, and we have the MP detachment out there, and we have some the infantry out there. We're looking at, we grew our engineers and from a detachment to a company. And we're looking at hosting them or putting them out in Alcantara as well, because that's state land. And so sometimes a little bit easier to work on state land out there. We've had an engineer detachment out there in the past when I was a young soldier. So so it's still an active armory, and we still use it. And it's still our COOP site, our contingency operations site. So if something happens to our main armory back in Anchorage, we will go over to Alcantara, and it's been wired with backup generators and hookups for as a contingency operation site.
And follow-up question?
Follow-up.
And so do you guys utilize Black Rapids at all up there outside of Delta?
I mean, we do. So that's an active duty training program for especially for cold weather operations. But we do send soldiers there to get their Arctic tab, if you will, and do extreme cold weather. That's one of the initiatives that we've been working back. I'll tell you, since 9/11 hit, we've been really kind of focused on doing a lot of the operations in CENTCOM, working over in the Middle East and doing all the hot weather stuff. We're trying to get back to being Arctic soldiers again. If you got my coin, it would say Arctic soldier on there. I'm having our soldiers get back to the extreme cold weather stuff so they get used to their to operating in the Arctic, work their gear, and that is what we're trying to get back to. We work really close to 11th Airborne Division. Oftentimes, we use them with, you know, they use our helicopters. The governor controls the state highway system. The Alaska National Guard is really that tool that manages those convoys. During this last exercise I have north, the active duty had more than 100 convoys going up and down the highways. And so our Defense Movement Coordination Center is the one that manages all that, works with the State Department of Transportation if they need special permits. And we make sure that we're not clogging the highways. And the Alaska Guard actually was that proves or disapproves those convoys. And so we work with those active duty units quite a bit. We've had a special forces up here numerous times. We've taken them out to pretty remote areas of Alaska. They've been doing a lot more operations up here. So we're tied with a lot of the active duty units up here.
Well, I appreciate the answers. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Also, General, you talked about cooperative agreements earlier. Could you talk about the benefits of it and the importance of maintaining it?
So we have a lot of different cooperative agreements. The ones I'm, the state benefits from that cooperative agreement because that money comes on the federal dollars, and through that cooperative agreement, maybe pay a portion of what we get in federally. A lot of times, a 75-25 split, whatever it is. The struggle sometimes we run into is if both sides, the federal side and state, finally don't fund it, then that project, whatever it is, doesn't happen. That's probably the struggle of the coordination that happens. So if we get the federal dollars and we don't get the state dollar, if we don't get that state dollar, then we won't be able to execute that mission. That's primarily the benefit of it for the state.
Thank you.
Okay, so I talked about the state partnership program. That's Alaska National Guard have been involved in this since 2003, and we really become the premier state partnership program in the nation. A lot of states have really kind of tailored their partnership program similar to ours. The Mongolians have supported the United States during Operation Iraqi Freedom and during Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. And we've always sent a Mongolian Assistance Force out of the Alaska Guard with them when they deployed as advisors to help them while they're over there. And we've maintained that relationship for, it's 20 years now. In fact, the Land Kamona Commander from the Mongolian National Guard, Mongolian Army was here, and he wanted to celebrate our 20 years of friendship. We have a soldier, a major that's over in the embassy that works over in Mongolia. We go over for a lot of different exercises. COVID kind of killed some of the exercises, but this year we'll be going back over to Conquest. Conquest is a multinational United Nations mission, and it gives our soldiers an opportunity to see how United Nations operate and how they work. And then if we send over headquarters, usually we're going to send over the 38th Troop Command this year. And they'll be able to do the military decision-making process and work through some of those problems that a lot of the UN missions take on over there in an exercise. And so we also have the Gobi Wolf That was a six-day disaster response exercise. We've been participating in that in years. We've been working with them. We provide advisors to things like their non-commissioned officer schools. We've provided lots of stuff with health and going over there and providing health care to the nationals over there. It's really kind of a unique relationship. Conquest really has up to 40 different nations that come, and we bond with them over UN stuff. But as you know, Mongolia is really bordered by Russia and China. It makes it a little bit dynamic, and they are friends with both Russia and China as well. So we keep a foot over there. We have a strong relationship with them, and we continue that relationship. So, we talked about the 19 unit locations that are out the state. Right now, 11 of them are manned. We can turn any of those on if we need to man them. If we get forces out there and more National Guard members out there, we can turn those on. The last 90 days, we've been pretty busy in a lot of different exercises. You know, we've done the combined arms live fire exercise at J-Bear, and they did the 24-hour medevac operations there. Our civil support team was involved in the 2023 Iditarod race ceremony at the start. Our theater gateway during the Joint Pacific Multinational Readiness Center exercise that was up in the Fairbanks area and up north. Our 49th Gateway checked all those part of the exercise, part of working with the 11th Airborne Division, and then checked in all the multinational and 11th Airborne Division soldiers as they hit the training area and as they left. And so the National Guard has been a huge part of a lot of the exercises that happen up here. And then we have the 297th Infantry Battalion. They're going to the Joint Readiness Training Center this year, and then they have a follow-on deployment, about 100 soldiers that are going to be going into CENTCOM this year. So they're preparing for that. And I only put three events down there for the community events, but we're always doing lots of community events. And so we're definitely out in the community. As many of you know, we are all things. We are firefighters, police officers, school teachers, legislators. We're a lot of stuff. And so we're definitely out in the community, and the community is part of us. So.
One team, one fight.
One team, one fight. Right, Chairman, that pretty much concludes my orientation to the Alaska National Guard. If you have any questions, I'm glad to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Ray.
Thank you. I will just say to General Columbus that I am very grateful for your service, your family service. As you know, I have personal gratitude because when I deployed with the 297th to Kosovo, when we were demobbing in Fort Bliss, my bunk was directly across from your son Daryl's. And so I am particularly grateful to your family service because we had that very interesting life experience together. Thank you, sir.
To the chair, thank you. Mr. Gray, I really appreciate, you know, we are really a small organization. And when I looked back and I looked at who was on the senior leaders, you know, Jilly Small's dad, Sergeant Major Small's dad is the one that recruited me and her. And so we have a lot of lifetime relationships on the Guard. And we're so small that it's hard not to know a lot of people coming here and seeing three of the, Representative Carpenter's not here, but three that actually used to work for the Guard is pretty interesting. So,
an organization like this with hometown heroes and such a tight-knit organization, it creates worthwhile relationships, and I thoroughly appreciate it, you know, just being in the room with the folks and working with them on this end and working with them on that end. I also want to congratulate you for your recent advancement as well. And thank you for your service. I really appreciate it, all the hard work you do, and just having the opportunity to work with you was a blessing in itself. Representative Shaw, you have a question?
I do. I just got a comment to the general, and we talk about how large a state we are, and we talk about the value of more than not being a neighborhood where we all know each other. And the Guard is almost a center point for that when you think about the Guard being connected from Uktiavik to Ketchikan, and literally all of us are connected somewhere through one person, if not directly, and a big part of that has to do with the Guard. You say the Guard is small in some respects, but it's very large relative to our community, and I definitely want to thank you for your efforts on our behalf. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? That, General, I do thank you for your time. I know it's very valuable. Please forgive us for the late start. A little housekeeping. I'd like to say that we have rescheduled our hearing for HB 155 and HB 158 for our next meeting. And that concludes our agenda for today. We will be adjourning at 2:21. Thank you.